This is The State of Things. I'm Frank Stachow. Sports writers dream of the ultimate underdog story. Chapel Hill-based Tim Cruthers found it in Katwe, a giant slum in Kampala, Uganda. Fiona Mutes is currently Uganda's leading female chess player. But a few years ago, she couldn't read or write, and she helped her family stay alive by selling corn. Some days she ate, some days she went hungry, but every day she played chess in a program set up by a Virginia aid organization, and she was brilliant at the game. Tim Cruthers first told Fiona's story for ESPN, the magazine. He has now written a book, The Queen of Katwe. Tim Cruthers joins me in the studio now. Welcome back, Tim. Good day.
Thank you, Frank. It's always a pleasure.
So tell us how you met Fiona.
Well, I was first alerted about her story, actually, from that Virginia aid organization you had mentioned. They put out a monthly newsletter, and a gentleman brought that to my attention. And I read a story in the newsletter about Fiona making her first ever journey outside of Katwe to a children's chess tournament in Sudan. And by miracle, she and her two other teammates from both from the Katwe Chess Project ended up winning that tournament. And it was the first sort of validation, true validation of the progress that she'd made in her chess career, and also the first time that she'd had a chance to see any other part of the world. So it was remarkable.
And that this young woman would be such a high-level chess player is a surprise when you know what goes on or what Katwe is like. So tell us about that.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, really, the main challenge in Katwe is just to survive from day to day. I mean, as you mentioned, she was always just thrilled to be able to get a meal each day. And the challenges are so many. I mean, between the starvation, the disease that is rampant in Katwe, the crime. I mean, there's just so many different hurdles that she has to jump just to get by from day to day. And so we mentioned in the book that success is really a secondary thing. There's not a real accomplishment is not something that is usually strived for. They really just are trying to get through every day.
So chess has got to be way down the list of priorities. How did she come to be a chess player?
Well, that's what's so amazing. There is no word for chess in her language where she speaks Luganda, and there's no word for chess in her language. Obviously, chess is not something that is a big sport in Uganda. It was a series of crazy circumstances. A Ugandan gentleman who works for the Virginia organization, once began a soccer ministry. And his idea was to go into Katwe and see if he could attract some kids in Katwe to their ministry through the sport of soccer. Now, obviously, soccer is a different animal entirely for them. I mean, they are instantly interested in playing soccer, and just the idea that there was a soccer ball there for them to play with was all that was really necessary. And also, a meal was provided through the daily ministering. Now, one day, this gentleman realized that not everybody in the project wanted to play soccer. There were some people who were scared about getting hurt for various and sundry other reasons. And he didn't have very many other choices, but he wanted to see if he could engage the other kids. And so what he did was he thought about what he had done in his past, and he remembered that he had a chessboard at his house from his days playing recreationally in school. And so he brought the chessboard out one day and said, "Let's just see." And we talk about in the book. He says, "You know, he had this real fear: can these kids really learn this game? Because many of them had dropped out of school. It just seemed like it could be a long shot for him to be able to engage them in this game. But he dropped the board in the dirt in Katwe." Pulled out the pieces, and next thing you knew, he had 20 kids who were really, really engaged in the game.
And kind of an interesting story, too, that you also recount in the book, is that if Fiona is there, she's not much interested in soccer. She has a brother who is.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
She's hanging around the brother who doesn't necessarily, who now has to, his sister's tagging along because she likes this chess thing that's going on.
Right. Well, he initially had no interest in helping her to find chess. The only reason that she ever discovered it, actually, was because, as you say, she followed him against his will one day. He didn't even know she was behind. She was behind him, and it's a 5-kilometer walk from their house to the chess project. And she was able to keep up with him that day, very sneaky, you know, right behind him the whole way. And that's when she first discovered the game. And instantaneously, she saw these pieces, and there was something about them, some magic to the black and white pieces on the chessboard. And I think the biggest thing was, you know, she describes herself as not someone who had a lot of happiness growing up in her life, and you can imagine why. And what she saw in the room that day were kids who were happy. They were excited about playing the game. They were laughing. There was an exciting level of competition that was going on there. These were all things that she had never really seen. And so even though she didn't know what the heck they were doing, she wanted a part of that. And as she started to do it, as I'm told by people who really know the game, and I admit I'm not an expert by any means, that there's a certain part of being good at it is having that sort of brain wiring for the game, that she instantaneously, it was clear to the people around her that she had that. And so that really was encouraging for her initially, and that's how it became a big part of her life.
So now tell us about this series of games that she wins, and then her first trip out of the country.
Yeah, she was the first to admit that she played, you know, hundreds and hundreds of games against the other kids in the project before she actually won a game. But finally, one day she sat down with a boy, and most of the kids in the project are boys, and played a game against him. And there's a certain chess term called a fool's mate, which is a way you can win a game in like 3 or 4 moves. And this boy had played Fiona many times and always used the fool's mate. And the game would end instantaneously, and Fiona would never understand what just happened. I've already lost the game. And then one day she went to her coach and said, how can I combat this fool's mate? And he taught her how to do it. And the next thing you know, she'd survived the first 4 moves of the game, and she went on to beat the boy because he expected to win based on that. And the boy cried because he was so ashamed about losing to a girl. And so instead of being able to celebrate that victory, Fiona had to comfort her first victim after all these years, or after all these months waiting to win a game. But from there, she, as I mentioned before, she and 2 of the other kids from the chess project earned a chance to go to the Sudan and play in the first international children's chess tournament. And they played against 16 other African nations. They were by far the youngest team in the event. By far the least experienced team in the event, but through the chess training that they'd gotten at the Kotway Chess Project, they were able to win that chess tournament. And as I said, that was the moment that I think Fiona committed herself at that point to this game, because she realized what was out there, and it gave her a chance to see the world.
Well, I want to talk more about that, because it was in that moment you talk about this as she's getting on the plane, and the mentor, the one who had brought the chessboard, named Robert Katende.
Yes.
You know, the kids are nervous, right? Mm-hmm. And they're saying, well, you know, what if we lose? And then he tells them a story, and he puts their mind at ease, and he says, essentially, look, I mean, you know, don't worry, just do your best. I mean, effectively, that's what he... Then he confides in you, and he says he doesn't care how they do. In fact, he says the fact that they're getting on the plane and they're going to go see this other place, that's it, the victory, game over.
Right, and it's funny when people ask me about, you know, how does she do in these international tournaments, and I always say, honestly, from day one, her coach has always felt, and I can understand why, that the victory for these kids is just the opportunity to get out of Kotway and see how the rest of the world works. So the fact that they happened to win that tournament in the Sudan was almost irrelevant to their coach. It was the victory for him was the extraordinary odds against any of them ever having a chance to leave Kotway. Period. I mean, a lot of the people who live in Kotway never leave Kotway. Fiona grew up believing that everyone else in the world lived exactly as she did, that everyone else was scrounging for one meal a day. Everyone else was just trying to survive one day to get to the next. She didn't realize that there was a world out there where people lived a better life. And so getting that opportunity to see the Sudan and subsequently other trips she's made to Russia and to Turkey based on her chess acumen have given her that opportunity to see that there is a whole different way that the rest of the world lives. And that obviously motivated her to keep going, I think.
Well, to keep going, but she does keep coming back. So yes. She's still in Katwe.
Oh, absolutely. She, you know, the chess, as good as she may be at it, is not by itself a ticket out unless she were to become a grandmaster someday. And then maybe she'd be able to use that chess as a way to live. But her daily life is still relatively similar to the way it was when she first discovered chess, except for the fact that she's now on a scholarship through the Virginia Ministry that's allowed her to go back to school. So she now is in boarding school. Now that sounds like a nice thing for those of us mm-hmm. who live in the U.S. and what we think of boarding schools to be. You know, this is not Choate. It's still in Katwe. It's still, you know, a very, very difficult existence from day to day, but it's structure. And for a kid in her position, who has never had any structure in her life, other than the family, which is a very fragile thing, that has afforded her the chance to, you know, to actually have some structure in her life, to have a goal educationally also now, where maybe she could someday earn a government scholarship and go to university.
Let me stop you there. What is it she'd like to pursue if she could get an education?
Well, she said she wants to be a nurse, and that's the dream that her mother always had, and I think that's maybe where it comes from, because again, when you live as sheltered a life as she has, and haven't had a chance to really experience what other jobs might be out there. Her mother grew up with a dream of being a nurse until she had to drop out of school because she had a child young. And so that became, I think, Fiona's goal. And so that is one of her goals. But I think right now her primary goal would be to continue in chess with the idea of pursuing these steps that you would have to take to become a grandmaster, which would be a way that she could subsist. If in the chess world, if you're a grandmaster, you can play in tournaments with appearance fees, and everywhere you go, you become you're a celebrity in the chess world, and that can be your career,
and you can be a grandmaster, not the grandmaster,
right?
Yeah. And so, so what are the steps, and how close is she? What do people tell you about her chances?
Well, when I mentioned that she went to Turkey recently, and that was in August of 2012, and she played in something called the Chess Olympiad, which is the most elite team tournament in the world, and there she performed well enough to earn a title. And now in chess, a grandmaster is the ultimate title, but there are titles below that, and you sort of work your way up the ladder toward becoming a grandmaster. She's now a woman candidate master, which she earned by her performance at the Olympiad. That made her the first female in Ugandan history to earn a title. So that's a huge step. Huge validation for the progress that she's made. Now, the distance between that and becoming a grandmaster is still massive, and I do understand enough about the chess world to understand that. And the hurdles that she has is the way that other people in the chess world make those steps is through elite coaching. It's through having access to chess books and videos, and it's also having access, which seems crazy, to the internet, which allows in the chess world you can click onto the internet and you can play a game against an elite player in Russia or in Iceland or in South America, anywhere, at the click of the mouse.
And hasn't her story opened some of those doors for her?
She is not, to this point, she has received some chess books, but they're all in English and her English is still not strong enough that she could actually read them. She can have them read to her. There is no Wi-Fi in Katwe. Mm-hmm. so she really does not have access to the internet unless she's able to leave Katwe, you know, and go somewhere else in Kampala where she might have some access to the internet. But it's very a rare opportunity for her to get on the internet. So and a lot of people think to become a grandmaster, you need to be taught by a grandmaster. And there are no grandmasters in Uganda. There are no grandmasters anywhere. in her sphere of influence where she would have the opportunity to be coached by someone and take that next step.
Have things changed for her family as a result of this?
They have. I mean, one of the things I'm often asked, and rightly so, about this project is does Fiona benefit in any way from the book? And the answer is, of course she does. I mean, we obviously built that into the book contract. That she would make a profit from the sales of the book, and what it's really done is just offered a little bit of security for them. They moved 6 times over a period of 4 years, I believe we talk about in the book, all because they couldn't pay the rent and were kicked out from house to house. What this has allowed them to do is whenever there's a need for money along those lines, there's a trust that's been set up that her coach, Robert Katende, is able to step in and help them when a need arises. Now, is that going to be enough to allow them all to gather up their things and move to London? No. I mean, not unless this interview helps us to become a mega bestseller, then maybe we have a different matter. But for the moment, really, that's just it's a safety net for them. And it's helped to allow them just to have this a little bit more sense of security. And maybe at some point they might be able to use that money to move at least outside of Cotway to somewhere else, you know, to a better place in the city.
Tim, it's a great story. Thank you so much for being with us.
Thank you, Frank.
Tim Cruthers' new book is called The Queen of Cotway, and if you want to find out more about it and any of his readings or appearances in the area, you go to timcruthers.net, TimCrothers.net. Thanks for listening. You know how to find us. We're at stateofthings.org. Our program is directed by Alex Granados, produced by Sean Wen and Nicole Campbell. Haley Sklut is our intern, Robin Copley, the technical director, Susan Davis, the senior producer. This is North Carolina Public Radio, a broadcast service of the University of North Carolina, Chapel Hill. I'm Frank Stachow.